Thanks, Josh. Good evening, everybody. We want to do two or three things to catch up on some things in our life together before we get into our thoughts from the Lord's Word tonight. First off, best wishes to everybody who's headed back to school. Thanks very much to you parents and you young people who were involved in the activity Friday night. I understand we had about 20 of our young people, and plus at least a few adults, and then about 30 young people from Mountain Home also, and adults from there. Thanks so much to you guys for your energy and involvement and interest in that activity. We didn't mention it this morning, except in class maybe, but I'd like everybody to be aware of David and Debbie Rattery's challenges this week. I think Debbie sees the doctor tomorrow, and then they make a visit to Siteman in St. Louis on Tuesday, and it's likely, as I understand it, that she'll be facing some more time in the hospital for more treatments coming up after that. We'll see how all of that goes. We're looking forward on Wednesday night to our new Wednesday night series, Rescue, from 2 Samuel. This is the theme for LTC this year, the activities our young people will have. We haven't always taken the time, maybe we could have, to actually think together about the biblical passages that are running in the background of this, and that's what we'll try to do, teens and adults, starting this Wednesday evening. So pray for us about that and be with us if you can. We'd like everyone to be aware that we have several activities coming up in our work, one of which is the hospitality coming up on January 26th. Later in that afternoon, there's a deal, a care for the homeless time earlier in the day, but the hospitality hosted by our ladies is for all of our ladies younger and older who have placed membership with us within the last 2 years. So be thinking about that, and I hope that will turn out to be a great time together. I want to think with us about this for a few minutes tonight, our daily Bible reading plan for this year. And most of you, hopefully, have grabbed a copy already. You've noticed that there are some changes or some differences this time in what we have done maybe in past years. And I'd like to explain a little bit about why tonight. I want to begin by reading something I ran across when we were putting this plan together. Something written by Brother Mike Toon, who works in Falls Church, Virginia. Mike actually spoke in a meeting for us a long time ago over at North National. He wrote a piece that is based on, if you move to the next slide for me, Adam, based on a passage from Proverbs 1, verses 10 and following. The passage which says, "Hear, my son, your father's instruction, forsake not your mother's teaching, for they are a graceful garland for your head and pendants for your neck. My son, if sinners entice you, do not consent. If they say, 'Come with us, let us lie in wait for blood, let us ambush the innocent without reason,' then, my son, do not walk in the way with them. Hold back your foot from their paths. These men lie in wait for their own blood. They set an ambush for their own lives." Let that run in the background of what I'm about to read. Mike titles this piece, "A Nickel a Verse." Barry Black grew up on the streets of Baltimore, the son of a devoutly religious mother. She paid her children a nickel a verse for every passage of Scripture they committed to memory. And Barry quickly learned to game the system. He began looking for the shortest verses in the Bible, the low-hanging fruit, he calls them. You know the ones. There was "Jesus wept," John 11, verse 35. Then "Rejoice evermore," 1 Thessalonians 5, 16. Then "Remember Lot's wife," Luke 17, verse 32. And pray without ceasing. 1 Thessalonians 5, 17. Barry found also the 2-for-1 specials. Do not kill was Exodus 20, 13. But it's also Deuteronomy 5, 17. Learn it once, get paid twice. Barry's mother knew what he's doing, what he was doing. She also knew what she was doing. Because in order to find those verses, Barry had to make his way through the Bible looking them up. And eventually, his mother capped what she would pay to a quarter a week, 5 verses. Barry found greater value eventually, though, than a nickel a verse. One afternoon in his 13th year, young Barry was invited by some friends to join them in taking revenge on a common nemesis. Barry remembered Proverbs 1, 10 through 18, and he refused, choosing to stay far away from those, quote, friends, unquote. The revenge went horribly wrong, and a boy died. The others were charged and convicted of murder. That would have been me, Barry says, had I not remembered that verse and taken it to heart. Today, Barry is the chaplain of the United States Senate. And I listened to him a few days ago. His speech was peppered with scripture. And I thought, that's what David meant when he wrote, I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Proverbs 119 and verse 11. Let's think for a few minutes about his word in our heart. Notice that I didn't say hearts. But in our heart, our as a group, how can we hide God's word in our heart? In order to illustrate the point, if I can, may I use some things that you will already have read if you're reading with us so far. Maybe you haven't started yet, but are going to. Of course, it can at any moment, any day, but any time. But we started with Psalm 1. And Psalm 1 says, blessed is the man. And it goes ahead to describe a little bit of what we've just reflected on from Proverbs. Who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, and so forth. And it goes ahead to say that this man is like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither, and all that he does, he'll prosper. But what I left out in that reading is the stream that the tree is planted by. It's not enough simply to not walk in the counsel of the wicked or stand in the way of sinners nor sit in the seat of the scoffer and think that you're going to bear fruit. There has to be something that nourishes the life and keeps it strong and keeps it vital. And that's what we find in Psalm 1 and verse 2. That leads us to think about our very best example of doing what we're about to think of here. It's Jesus himself. And in order to kind of illustrate the point, Adam, if you can, just put up the whole of this next section here for me. And see this pattern here. A, B, B, A. It's a particular literary form that's used to say, this part over here is just a reflection of this part over here. And if you think about it, these have been in our readings. First from the Psalms. Psalm 1 and verse 2, the verse I left out said, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, And on his law he meditates day and night. That's the blessed man, the godly one, the one who's like a tree by the water, the one whose life bears fruit in every season of that life. Then move to the B point here. This is from Psalm 2. We read those January 1, those two psalms. It is the psalm of the king, who is also the Lord's son. And you notice in Psalm 2, verse 7 says, I will tell of the decree. The Lord said to me, you are my son. This day I have begotten you. Now, the way our readings for this year are laid out is that the parts you'll read from the Psalms and the Proverbs introduce ideas that occur in the readings from the New Testament. And look at B and then A here. From Luke 3 and verse 22, of course, at the baptism of Jesus, a voice came from heaven, you are my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. Notice how that is the exact reflection of the B point just above it. A, B, B, A. There is a literary name for that pattern, and I can't think of what it is. Sorry about that. But then look at the A point that matches this. This is the ministry of Jesus, the public ministry of Jesus beginning in Luke 4. When he goes to Nazareth and he goes, it says in verse 16, as his custom was, he went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day, and look what happens. He stood up to read. In the synagogue service, there would be readings from the history, the parts from history, from the Psalms, from the prophets. Jesus stood up to read. And the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was given to him. Some of the versions translate it the book, but it would have been a scroll, most likely, at that time. And notice what happens. He unrolled the scroll and found the place where it was written. Have you ever read something on a scroll? It doesn't have chapters and verses. You have to know what you're looking for. How do you get to where you would know that? What this is telling us is it wasn't just the custom of going to the synagogue on the Sabbath day that was a part of Jesus' life. It's always also a custom of his to think about, to meditate on, to delight in the Lord's Word. He stands up, takes that scroll, unrolls it, finds the place, reads the passage about the Spirit of the Lord being upon me. He's anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor, to proclaim liberty to the captives, recovering of sight to the blind, liberty to those who are oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. You have heard those words read many times, but never by somebody who could just roll up the scroll and give it back to the attendant and sit down and say, today, these words have been fulfilled in your ears. That's what Jesus did. And of course, you know that set off quite a scene in that synagogue on that Sabbath day. But Jesus is our best example of what we're talking about when we mean reading the Bible or reading the Lord's Word. He delights in it. He meditates on it. He knows it. He sees the application of it. He sees where it leads, what its meaning is. And he finds himself in that story. Now, our best effort in reading the Bible is to imitate Jesus. There are some ways, of course, in which he can make claims that we don't make. We don't claim to fulfill the prophet Isaiah. We claim to benefit from the fulfillment of that prophecy, though. We are there. We're the blind or the poor or the captives that are blessed by the work of Jesus. And we want to try to understand when we read how that benefit comes to us. So here are four suggestions about what we can do as we make our journey through our reading of the Word during this year that maybe will be helpful to us. Those of you who've been with this congregation for any length of time know that this has been a yearly practice in our life together. We've done it to try, of course, to draw nearer and nearer to the heart of God as we've sung about it, but we've also done it to try to draw nearer and nearer to each other. And the task of reading the Lord's Word, reading it together, reading it and then trying to think about it in other circumstances in our congregational life, is a discipline which would say that we want fellowship to be more than simply a potluck gathering, and we want it to be something more than simply what we talk about. We want it to be something that we're actually involved in. So think of it that way. Here's some ways to imitate Jesus. Read the Lord's Word with delight in having a Father's guidance. That's what, when Jesus read, he was reading his Father, what his Father had made known. Read the Lord's Word as if you are finding there the guiding principles of your life. This is how you and I understand who we are. It's how we understand how we should live. It's how we understand how we should treat other people and what our lives are all about. Sometimes you will find people who will say, well, you guys, you just think that taking a book and reading from it and never doing anything about it is somehow going to get you to heaven. That's not at all what nobody is saying. Just take the Bible and read it and let that be your whole life. What we're saying is let that be bread for your heart and your spirit, just like you have meals to sustain your body. Let it be what nourishes you. Enjoy it. You have at your disposal an entire library of several different kinds of material that touch on all the human emotions in one way or another and can be of use or of guidance in so many different circumstances of your life. Last Wednesday night, our elders read to us passages from Paul's letter to the Ephesians. And I already knew what I had been working on and what we're going to do tonight. I appreciated John putting that together and you fellas leading us. But I just thought in one half of that great letter, there was guidance for how we relate to each other in the work of the church, in our individual Christian character, and how we treat each other in our families, whether husbands, wives, parents, or children, and then how we deal with the struggles of life that we have to encounter every single day. That is not at all unusual in the rest of the script. You can take one half of one letter, not even one of the great books, and you find that kind of thing. In the rest of it, you find examples of characters where these principles are brought to bear. You find promises. You find encouragement. You find explanations. You find ways of understanding what will happen as life goes around, all of that kind of thing. Read it with delight. I know there are time challenges in all of our lives, mine too. I find it I've been given the great privilege to have time to read the Lord's Word and to think about it. To be honest with you, I find it almost impossible to do it without it being preparation for a class or a sermon. I have to really try on purpose in my life to read the Lord's Word and think about just having that privilege. And do it with thanksgiving. Make it a part of your thanksgiving for each day. Secondly, learn to meditate on the meaning of what you have been reading and then upon its applications in your life. Meditate means simply to give careful thought to. So one of the things we've done this year is instead of trying to read all of the Old Testament, for example, we've made it simpler. There's just a psalm or a proverb and then a chapter from the New Testament or a chapter from the New Testament each day. Here's what I suggest. Read till you find something that you need to stop and really think over about how your life, how your heart could be changed by it. Or read till you find something. If you want to read more of the Old Testament, read in that chapter, say, from Luke, until you find something that is from the Old Testament. Then go back and look that up and see what it was about in its original setting. Your very best Bible study tool is a good cross-referenced Bible. Personally, if I had to have just one tool, it would be the old American Standard Teacher's Bible that I got somehow or another in my college days. Just a cross-referenced Bible. You can find out not necessarily what a statement or a sentence means in a particular paragraph, but you can find out where that language came from and what its connections are in the rest of the Bible, and that can be very useful to you. Take some of your time this year to do that. So, and then I'd like to mention that by doing it this way, maybe we can urge ourselves to do something that it's barely possible we haven't been doing. Reading ahead of time for our Bible classes. Really, do you do that? If you're in one of our classes that does textual studies, I know right now John's is doing some of Paul's letters. I'm doing 1 Thessalonians. I'm not sure exactly which things that happen in the night. Is that what we're in this class in here in the auditorium? Or other classes. If you know, like Wednesday night, you know we're going to be studying 2 Samuel. Read beforehand. Some of the times this month, for example, on Sunday mornings, I want to preach lessons from the Gospel of Luke. I told us all that this morning. Read them ahead of time. You'll know where we're headed that way, and I think you'll find it more enjoyable. Third, in your reading, watch for Jesus Christ. If he could read Isaiah 61 and say, because he was there, today this scripture is fulfilled in your ears, you get the general drift of things. He is the point. What God does through him is the point of the scriptures. Watch for him. You'll see the wonderful ways in which the wisdom and the power of God is on display. And in watching for Christ Jesus, since he made known the glory of the Father, you and I will have the privilege of seeing how the character of God looks in real life. I got to study with these young people from Exodus 34, the way God introduced himself. If you'll watch in your reading, you'll see those characteristics in Jesus Christ. Watch for him, and in watching for him, watch for what is known of God through him. The main reason we read the Bible is to be able to know the God who spoke. In John 17, Jesus says that this is eternal life, to know you, the only true God. To know God means to understand kind of what kind of a being He is, and what His will is, and what His emotions are, what He wants for us, and then to try to respond to Him in that way. And then the fourth thing, in our reading this year, think in terms of our becoming a people. Now, we are a people. Christ purchased us. We belong to Him if we're Christians. That's what His church is, a people who He bought, who He purchased. In reading the Lord's Word and knowing our Father and seeing Him in Christ and taking delight in that and applying it to our lives, we're becoming people who share a character and who share an identity and who share a way of life. And that's why we term this His Word in our heart, not our hearts, although He needs to be there too, but our heart. So think of it in that way. There is something about this process that blesses us and benefits us if we let it. I ran across something written by Sister Norma Privett. She lives in California. She's a good writer. I share it with you. Have you ever tried listening deeply to the Word of God? Forget about multitasking and getting things done. Grant yourself a bit of space to just sit quietly and be still. That's hard, isn't it? Finding a non-distracting time and place is important where you anticipate no interruptions. With God's Word open at any place of interest, it's wonderful to sit quietly and listen. As with any new skill, you may find it takes a time or two to get the hang of it. Our usual need is to be doing something. Focusing attention takes some effort because your thoughts want to fly all over the place. But gradually, God's words begin to penetrate the soul, and your mind responds with new ways of thinking about the passage or another scripture you're reminded of, or perhaps of some response you need to make. Then she says, often there are thoughts I want to write down so I can go over the passage again at a later time. I feel especially blessed by God's Word when I make this kind of effort to listen. And I've read it for her last phrase. And I want my children and grandchildren to know this blessing too. In 2019, we began to try to put more focus on sharing something across generational lines. That's wonderful, and I have been so thankful for what I've seen it do in our lives. I just want to appeal to us not to miss the most obvious way in which that could happen. Let's read the Lord's Word together. Someone stood up on was it the 22nd that night when our guy said if our family could ask the Lord for one to give our congregation one gift this year. It would be, and I think it was Brendan who stood up and said, it's neat to kind of see us on the same page. We can make that literally true. Be on the same page. What I've been talking about tonight means more to people who are the Lord's children and who want to know how He wants them to live. Anybody can be a child of God. God wants you to be in His family. He begets us by the Word of Truth. When we obey it, He feeds us with the Word of Truth. We begin to grow in that way, and we then show forth the excellencies of the One who called us by living in the way He calls us to live. We'll sing tonight as the Lord's invitation. Is it Trust and Obey? Sometimes I wish this song was titled Obey and Trust. In my life, it has worked more that way. I'll be honest with you, I obeyed before I trusted. I trusted enough to obey a little bit, but I obeyed before I trusted. Sometimes you need to obey and then trust. The Lord will help you if you'll choose to obey Him by doing what you know you should do. You might be here tonight knowing the Lord wants you to obey the gospel. Or maybe you're somebody who did that and knows that you have not kept in step with the Spirit. First of the year is a good time to determine a direction that'll take you through the year. If we can help you in that way, let us know it while we stand and sing Trust and Obey together.